America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by Citrix, offering GoTo Assist, remote support made easy.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is running IT as an outsider. Our guests for today's show are Emily Ashworth, who's the Vice President and Chief Information Officer with American Water Works. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well. A little cold, but well.
Very good. I mean, just please stay warm. And we have Nasser Farshiyan, he's a Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer at McJunkin Redman Holding Corporation. Good morning, Nasser.
Good morning, Sandra. How are you?
Very good. Life is treating us all well. 2011 has started with a bang, and I'm sure we will all have fun and a lot of prosperity this year. Amen. So, as a topic we've picked up, we all, as IT leaders, want to be free if given a choice and do what we would want to do. At the same time, we find that we have to do things based on what the business requires. So while we play that enabler's function. So do you think that particular box within which we play kind of leaves some certain things or quite a few things left to be desired, and then we see many IT leaders say, I wish I had the resources or the flexibility, or I wish I had done this, this, and this for the business too. So why is it becoming that hard for people to be able to do what they want to do as IT leaders? Emily, let's start with you.
Well, I think one of the challenges is we allow ourselves to be inhibited by our own preconceived notions and our own sense of history and baggage, right? So if we've been constrained in the past, we unfortunately allow that to constrain us in the future. And I think, we need to think more proactively and creatively and think about even change management within ourselves. Just like we would employ change management programs as we roll out new systems and new technology, we have to think about how do we change our own mindset, because that's really where it starts. And so one of the things that, you know, I really try not to do is be inhibited by, previous constraints, be inhibited by even things that the business might articulate. I'm always looking for avenues to to take a different approach, to sell an idea in a different way, but never take no as just no.
So, Nasser, do you think that we could remain within this I wish and you could just console ourselves that, yes, whatever was available, we did the best with it?
I think I'll echo Emily's thoughts a little bit and add to it. We're always looking at IT as something that we have to prove that we're doing a good job, and we have all these scorecards, and we publish them on a monthly, weekly, whatever quarterly basis, and to tell the company, hey, we're doing a good job. I think that has to stop. I think we tend to measure everything we do in some shape or form related to customer satisfaction, customers being our users. I think this has to stop. When was the last time you heard sales, marketing, finance, or any other department creating scorecards to prove that they're doing a good job? What that brings to the picture is that we're always dividing ourselves as IT staff away from the rest of the business. And for me, that's a main issue that we're facing. I think we should be working to fixing that one. Who we define as IT's customers is, for me, is the most important part. And I believe companies' external customers are customers of IS as well, not the internal users that we have. I think the internal users should have the same type of responsibility in the systems that we create that support our true customers. I think they should take the same kind of pride in the systems that we create. They have to work as team members. And together we win or we lose. I think if we all act as equal partners and team members, we can have a more successful organization, happier team members, and better business systems. So for me, I think my advice would be to get rid of the term customer satisfaction when it relates to internal users of the organization. I don't see anyone inside the company as a customer. I see them as team members and partners in what we create for the organization as a whole.
Now, how much more do you think you have to prove? I know that you, whenever you have to go out there and do something new, you have to prove that that particular initiative is worth it. But then why are we looking for this external validation for us to feel that, yes, we are doing a good job? Why is it needed by business for IT to prove its worth over and over? Are we not doing enough already? Nasser?
I think the history is what's driving us to do that. I think that's how IS has always been perceived. Ever since, I used to go to conferences. I'm not going to show my age, but 22 years ago, I used to go to IS conferences. And the main topic, at least one of the main topics, was always aligning IS with business or aligning IT with business. You go to any conference nowadays, you still have the same topic, aligning IT with business. Okay? Now, why is IT always separated from the business? Isn't IT part of the business? When I joined the company, I didn't join the company's wing that was separated from the business itself. So I think that whole mindset that we always are trying to align IT with business has driven us to a point where it says, but in order for me to be aligned, I have to show proof that I'm worth being part of the business. And that mindset has been with us since the early ages of the IS departments or IT departments of creations. And that has to change. Maybe we should turn around and say, how do we align business with IT? How do we align business with the technology that they use? How do we make the business people understand the technologies that they have and how they can be part of creating better applications, better processes out of what IS has to offer? I think it's all history of how we've done it, and for some reason, our analysts and our all these folks who put the seminars together don't really take that into mind when they're putting these programs together. And we keep seeing the same things over and over again, that we're aligning IT with business when they should be, just part of the business itself.
So, Emily,
I agree. I think it goes back to, there's fundamentally a communications chasm, I think, between traditional business professionals and IT professionals. And I think, part of it is IT folks tend to be, outstanding worker bees, but really struggle to create visibility for their work in a way that the business can actually understand the value associated with the work. And so it's this whole, sort of cyclical hamster on the wheel kind of scenario where you're constantly trying to prove your value, constantly trying to get validation. But we continue to go about doing it in a way that the business doesn't understand. And a lot of it goes back to how we manage the cost, right? We treat IT as a cost center and like a cost sink, right? It's a cost of doing business, as opposed to really engaging with business partners equally from a full P&L standpoint. How do these costs both enable profitability, but also what are the expenses that go with it, right? And I think we just engage in the wrong conversations, and it's the wrong language, and that's why we're in this constant cycle around aligning, IT with the business or business with IT. It doesn't really matter to me. It's the issue of people speaking fundamentally different languages, looking at it from a different perspective, and it keeps the partnership from being there and being there in an effective way. And so, to Nasser's point, we keep going to the same old, conferences, the same topics, the same, approaches, and it's sort of like, chasing your tail.
I agree 100%.
Now, do you think when we have two partners, or perhaps more than two partners, they are equally allowed to challenge each other and ask for accountability and what they have done? So why is IT the only one getting challenged about what you are doing versus IT coming back to business and or other business units and saying, what have you done to get to the next level, or what have you done to allow me to help you back? Emily.
I do think other business units do get challenged, especially ones that are also in the same bucket, right? That are also sort of cost sinks that are enablers, you know, sort of your financial accounting folks behind the scenes. You've got to get the bills paid. You've got to do, you know, accounts payable, those kinds of things. I think they get challenged in the same way. Your legal functions often get challenged in the same way. And again, it's very different than the areas of a business that might be selling new product or doing, you know, R&D or out and developing new customers or, you know, branching out in different manufacturing lines. And so, but I think the issue is the same. I think it still comes down to, you know, a lack of understanding of what the costs are associated with all the pieces and how they all pull together to actually, you know, affect, you know, external customer satisfaction, external, you know, profitability, sales growth, all of those things. And I think if we measured a business more end-to-end and a more process orientation instead of a function orientation, so if we actually measured the business, what does it cost to actually bring a new customer on board from soup to nuts? What does it cost to deliver a product soup to nuts? You know, when you start to put measures that are more process-oriented and go across your entire organization, then I think you get less of these divisions and challenges. But we tend to still focus on functions, and we look at just IT as a function. We look at just legal, and that's where those challenges come from, is we don't really have a process orientation in most organizations. And I think you really start to see the shift, and you really start to experience a difference if you're having a process orientation, because it brings everybody into the mix equally, and then you can challenge you know, more easily across the whole process from beginning to end, as opposed to just a functional or silo view.
So, Nasser, if you were to look at the ideal situation, and if there was no box, if you will, within which you had to work, what would you have done differently than what you're doing today?
I think, to be honest, I think having the box is necessary, and I'll explain why I'm saying that. The boundaries that we're setting up, the boxes that we're setting up in the organization, they're there for a reason. They're there for because of business direction, it's because of shareholder expectations or market conditions. So you're always going to have some sort of a box around you. So thinking out of the box doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have to take all the boundaries that that the business is laying out for you and saying that, hey, I'm not going to take a look at those. I'm going to think freely and all that. You can't do that. What you have to do is look at the boundaries that you've got, you have around you, and say, what can I do with what I have right now inside the company to do things differently, to do things more efficiently, and, you know, have better products with what is inside the box that I'm working with. So for me, thinking out of the box, I know, you know, that's the main topic of a lot of conversations going on, but do we really need to do that all the time to be effective? For example, you know, as a technology leader, I may want to bring something to you, to the organization, which is a very advanced technology, leading-edge technology, when my business requirements are easily met by simply tweaking the technology that's already around, been around for decades, and has given the business the edge it needs in the marketplace. Do I really want to do that? Do I really want to put the business through learning a new technology just because it's the new thing? So for me, if I had to think out of the box, I would look at the boundaries that I have, and I would look at how to run my organization more effectively within those boundaries.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And Emily, let's see, what kind of box do you think you have to live within and you cannot break it for you to do what you would rather do if you did not ever have a box? So please stay tuned. We'll be right back and explore.
up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. GoToAssist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's remote support made easy.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, Emily, based on NASA's response, it looks like that we ought to have a box for us to be able to deliver in a predictable fashion. But then the challenge here is that if we do that, then are we not stifling some of the other opportunities or innovation or other things that we always aspire to do?
Yeah, I think, you know, ultimately we're in business, and we're in business to typically to make money. And so there is going to be some box that's focused around the results you're after, right? So, you know, in my industry, in my organization, I am part of a regulated utility. And so that's the box that we have to play in. So there are times that, you know, from an innovation or creativity standpoint, we might want to introduce new technologies that would be maybe viewed as nice-to-haves versus necessary. But the question is, because we're regulated utility, is that something that the customer really should pay for in their rates? Or is the, you know, sort of nice-to-have above and beyond what really they should be on the hook for in terms of rates? So there is always some box you're in, whether it's because of the business you're in, whether it's because of security, whether it's, you know, there's going to be some constraint. However, I still think there's plenty of opportunity balancing, you know, efficiency, cost, and customer service within the box that you have to be in terms of how you reach those goals, how do you go after them, how do you achieve improvements and even radical changes even within the box you're in. So I think, you know, we can endanger ourselves by getting too hung up based on the box we're in and stifle creativity and innovation. And really, there's plenty, the world is open, right? And so I think people just really need to understand what the constraint is and how that constraint operates, but then really be enabled to be innovative and creative, you know, within those limits and even, you know, around the periphery.
Now, you are saying essentially is that we cannot, even if we wanted to, we cannot break that mold and we cannot break free. And is it by design? And then we say that that very box is stifling us and or what we truly could have delivered. Or perhaps, are we allowed to even design the box? Because if somebody else gives you a box and go get yourself fit in it, and then you say, no, this was not designed for my body or for myself. But what about we are allowed to design our own box so that we can still continue to do the best we can with our potential?
See, I think the thinking is wrong in thinking that we're stifled by the box, right? You're always going to have a box, But how do you influence the boundaries of the box? How do you influence the shape? How do you influence, you know, a changing direction over time? For us, how do we influence regulation that will benefit our customers? You know, how do we influence regulation that will improve efficiency? How do we influence regulation that will better, you know, make use of technology in an improved fashion that either is around customer service or efficiencies, right? I mean, so, yeah, we have a box to start with, but if we just accept it as being stifled by it, then I really think we're creating our own hurdle. You know, it's not like unlike the boxes that we have, whether it's SEC requirements or SOX requirements or all these other kinds of things, understanding your starting point, but if you take them just as a stifling standpoint, then you really are limiting, you know, opportunity, limiting capabilities, limiting innovation, and limiting the opportunity for folks to learn in your organization. And so I think, you know, you have to understand the starting point. You have to understand what you're after. What are the business results you're going to achieve and you're expected to achieve? But then, you know, how do you influence that in a direction that's better for your constituents, better for your results?
Now, Nasser, if I were to have you upgrade your portfolio and or whatever you do, or your responsibility perhaps, get your promotion to make you a CEO. Now, what would you see something which is missing, because you also lived the IT role, in making that business successful and more profitable?
I think the part that's always missing from, and it's not just the technology, folks, it's the if you look at all the other business units in the organization, if you don't get involved in the business as a whole, if you don't understand every aspect of the business, if you don't intermingle with the folks from the other side of the business and understand what they do, understand the business as a whole, to get to the level where you can become a CEO is going to be very difficult for anyone. So I would see that as not just as an IS issue, it could be an issue for anyone in the organization. And any senior vice president who really is not engaged in other parts of the business, they're always within their own comfortable surroundings of their own business unit. They're never going to raise the level of becoming a CEO, obviously. So that I don't think that's an IS challenge or anything which is related to a CIO or anyone in IS.
Now, you always see, Nasser, that we talk about resource constraint. Whenever we talk about the word resource, we always say constraint. I've yet to see anyone saying, I've got all the resources that I ever wanted. So is it by design again? Is this somebody, CEO, is sitting with a sadistic attitude saying, I'm going to definitely make sure the IT leaders are cringing, and or whenever there is a resource to be offered, we will give them less than desired?
that definitely sounds like the way it is, isn't it? We always have, and again, this is not just an IS issue. You talk to HR, you talk to finance, or you talk to any other shared services. They always are constrained by resources. If I had more, I could do more. You have to go back and say, okay, is the constraint is basically how much you can do. If you're gonna give me so many resources, I can do so much. So let's sit down and define what that so much is, what are the priorities, and what needs to get done for the business to run as efficiently as possible, and we'll do it with the resource constraint that we have. And if we see the business is suffering, then we'll come back and sit down and go through our resource constraints and see what we can do to make it better.
So, Sanjo, I would say, when do people do their best work? They don't ever do their best work when, they have everything that they need laid out before them in an infinite, timeline and bucket of money. They do their best work when they're under pressure, when they've got some sort of constraint, when they have to be creative, when they have to rely on resources in a way that they might not have done otherwise, right? That's when you really get the best out of people. So I think there's another way to think about constraints and being, resource constrained, we all are. But if we weren't, I'm not sure we would ever get the best work out of anyone.
Okay, so now let me take a view on this. If you have somebody working in the organization, and yes, you have a responsibility as a leader to make them the smartest that they can be and or get the most out of them. But in the process of doing that, by creating constraints, are you also not could be having or introducing risk in terms of opportunity lost? Because while they may getting smarter after that experience, but that opportunity could have been lost because of lack of resources. that you had created a constraint by design.
It's always a balance. It's a balance. You know, you can't operate in any extreme. So, you know, you have to balance the risk you're introducing with the constraints that are present, and you have to figure out what the right trade-off is.
Nasser, what do you think, given typically you see an organization, you got some structure, you got some policies, you got politics, and there is an inherent culture in an organization. How unrealistic is it for an IT leader to become, or at least fake being an outsider, or think like an outsider and act like an outsider?
I don't think it's unrealistic. What I would think is the issue is that if this isn't done correctly, it could really hurt IT. We talk about IS and CIOs, but what about other business units if they ask to be considered an outsider? How would that go? You know, I think it has to be framed to CEO that IT has a lot more to offer than simply transaction processing and keeping the lights on. Probably the best way to have this discussion is when we're setting goals for the following year with the CEO and the executive team and asking the simple questions. What do you want the IT team to accomplish? What do you as CIO want to do personally? Perhaps joining with other groups, you know, marketing and sales or any other areas to prototype this approach, and which will garner you more support. I think just to become an outsider and just as an individual and start thinking as an outsider could really hurt you if you're not careful about it.
Okay, so if you take that cautious approach, then how do we beat our own records? How do we become that Olympic swimmer? Because frankly, if you are always looking up to the business leadership and say, tell me, what do you want to accomplish, versus saying, these are five things which you even may not have thought of, could be brought about.
Yeah, I'm not saying we look up to the business leadership to get direction. What I'm saying is that we become part of the business leadership and tell them what could be done from an IS perspective to make things better. So there's a difference there. And again, that becomes part of IS being part of the business or not being part of the business. I think the business decisions should be made with everything in sight, including the technology that the company has, and the technology is being led by the CIO. I think the CIO needs to lay out the like you said, the constraints of what technologies we have and also the potentials of the technology and what could we bring to the technology mix that could help the business. And then sit down as a team around the table with the business leaders, all of them, including IS, and make a decision on what is best for the company as a whole based on its direction, based on its obligations to shareholders, and based on the economic condition of the company and the industry. So I think IS has to be an integral part of the business itself, not just to look up to them.
I think one of the things is, as you really sort of think about how do you keep that outsider perspective fresh and really push forward that conversation about what's possible and bring forth ideas to the table, keeping your not only yourself but your organization enlightened with diversity of thought. So I'm a big proponent of diversity, but not necessarily just in the traditional, you know, thinking and frame around, you know, gender and sort of ethnic origin, but really around diversity of thought and industry, degrees and experience. If you look at my organization, I have people that are degreed in all kinds of things, not just computer science or engineering, come from a vast, you know, array of industries and experience. And one of the things that really helps is it helps keep that thinking fresh. It helps keep that perspective of, you know, sort of out of the box, you know, that outsider view. What can we bring from other places, other industries? And really kind of keeping that fresh as the organization, you know, shifts and people are promoted or move or change or go to jobs in the business or whatever, really making sure that the diverse perspectives are, you know, maintained and we don't all sort of start looking like each other and having the same experience and have the same background. I think that really contributes incredibly to, you know, an outsider perspective being fresh and really thinking about what's possible.
Let's take Yeah, Nasser, before we go ahead with this thought, let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back, and let's continue our conversation.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. Go to Assist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's remote support made easy.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Nasser, you were just about to say something, but then I will let you complete your thought, and then we'll go forward and say, how about giving immunity for a little bit to the IT leader and say, okay, go do what you want to do and see what happens. They are not going to, of course, misuse it, hopefully, and or they're not going to try to damage the organization. Perhaps something better would come out of it. What do you think?
I think once in a while to do that is good, and I think it's good with all the other business units as well to bring fresh perspective to your organization. We do those once in a while. You know, we bring in technology shows within the organization. You know, showing different things that even though the company's budget is not going to be able to handle that, just to give fresh perspectives of what the organization can do, or bring in processes, you know, process changes that. Might make the business run better, but you know we know it's a long shot. So I think once in a while to have that is very good. I think it brings a new perspective to the organization. It brings in a fresh perspective to the organization, and it makes people think differently. I don't think that should be necessarily related to giving immunity or not. I think all the IS leaders, as the leaders of the organization. They should be bringing new, fresh perspectives and ideas to the organization and let the other business units take a look at it and see if it's something that they should think about doing. If not now, maybe in the future, this is something that we should be thinking about moving towards.
Go ahead, Emily.
Well, I was going to say another sort of flavor along that same thinking is that, you know, we've not only done some, you know, sort of technology shows like that Nasser talked about, but we've also, in cases, introduced what can technology do for you at home. So, you know, helping people educate them, and it helps close that chasm with the business. It helps in the communication. It helps make it real for people, and it helps bridge that relationship gap. And so, you know, I think that's another way to help, facilitate people thinking more broadly around, you know, what's possible, what's the opportunity.
You know, one of the examples that we've got the We've got our mainframe system, and this will make Steve Jobs very happy. We have our mainframe system running on an iPad as a trial. You know, we've showcased that, and we've shown it to people. Do I want to bring everyone in the company on iPad? No, obviously not. But those are the kinds of things that we let people know that these are the things that we can do. You know, we can bring in new technologies that take everything over and beyond what you're already doing. It gives you freedom of movement. It gives you freedom to think differently, not to be tied to a box within your office like Emily's talking about.
Right.
Now, many times the constraints may not be created by the business, but perhaps, like, you know, I read that book, Who Moved My Cheese, where it says, right. What would you do if you were not afraid? So perhaps that fear is the constraint, a fear the loss of pay or the status or anything else that we cherish so much. How does an IT leader try to become an outsider and shed all those inhibitions and fears? And it looks like a philosophical discussion, but frankly, it's a practical problem because the whole organization is going to suffer if that inhibition stays in that IT leader and the person cannot work like an outsider. Emily.
So I think the challenge is always, why is it that you're held back, right? So first understanding, why it is people are held back. Are they held back because they're afraid of losing their job, afraid of losing their pension, afraid of having to move, afraid of, whatever it is, right? So understanding that. But then figuring out within the culture you operate, how is it that you can put things on the table and your intent is clear, and it's not about politics or power or, any of the things that people sort of fear, losing their jobs for, right? So really sort of shifting the focus on, how do you make your intent clear? How do you make it obvious that it's about partnership, it's about bettering the business, it's about achievement of results, but still, introduce new thoughts, new ways of thinking, innovative approaches. But to me, it's really about mastering the communication style and approach. I think you can put anything on the table. I think you can be an outsider and have that viewpoint if your intent is clear and how you go about doing that is effective. And so it's a hard art to master. And I think, in the IT space, we have so many left brain sort of structured, concrete folks that sort of the essence of communication and sales and spin and, maybe isn't the, skill set that rises to the top, but that to me is what really helps facilitate that, fearless thinking, fearless approach. Is how do you let the message settle? How do you let the message get delivered? And is it clear what your real intent is?
So Nasser, how do you become that fearless outsider?
I think you have to know your limits. I think you have to understand your environment. And then you just have to speak your mind. I think as a leader, if you're not willing to speak your mind, if you're not willing to bring fresh ideas and fresh perspective to your environment, then you're in the wrong business. You shouldn't be there. So I think it's all about being honest with yourself, being honest with your organization, and just knowing your limits and knowing the limits of your organization.
So suppose a person is fearful of losing their job, then they better step off or step down from that IT leader seat because they will anyway not be able to do justice.
I would think if someone is afraid of losing their jobs and they're not speaking because of that, they're in the wrong business. I think they should be looking for something which is more suitable for their thought process and for their capabilities.
So if you are in an environment, Emily, this is a question for you,
okay.
Not you in person, but if an IT leader is in an environment which is at least perceived by that individual that it is inhibiting their true abilities, how do they tell that upfront to the individuals or that group, which most probably be the business management or the executive management, that you guys are not allowing me to be what I want to be and I want to be an outsider? And how will that be perceived?
Well, I think it sort of goes back to the point Nasser just makes. You have to understand the environment you're operating in, and you have to understand the motivations of other folks as well, right? So what are the things that are the hot buttons? What are the things that are the motivating influences for, you know, whoever it is you're interacting with, whether it's your executive team colleagues or whether it's, you know, the board or whatever? You really have to assess that. And then I think you need to have an appreciation for how direct you can be, with that group. I mean, there's some people that appreciate a very direct approach, and there's others that need a bit of buffering, right? And so I think if you, are delivering a direct message to a group that really likes something that's softer and buffered, then you're doing yourself a disservice. And so, you know, a lot of this takes a lot of strategic thinking and, strategic planning in terms of communication and conveying a message in a way that's clear about intent, but also isn't doing a disservice to yourself in terms of getting the pieces on the table that need to be on the table. So, unfortunately, communication is a lot of practice and polish and really understanding the audience. And many times you have multiple audiences, and it makes it that much more complex. But I think if you don't put the time in, if you've got something, really pretty critical in terms of an idea and our approach, or you see a business going down a path that isn't going to be served well by, whatever it is, a technology environment or, a customer response or whatever, you've got to be able to put that on the table, but you've got to do it in a way that is going to be constructive and is going to be received well by the other people. And it creates listening as opposed to just puts up, fences or defenses.
So, Nasser, what Emily just mentions is definitely true, to be politically correct and see the sentiments of the people who this message is being sent to for a given instance, perhaps. But then over a period of time, if this IT leader is seeing that whatever I'm trying to do is being stifled and or constrained because of the way I have been allowed to operate, and that is not becoming an outsider, and you got to take that message explicitly, not sugarcoat it too much so that the real message is not lost, what would you say to that organization? So it's not a specific instance that you're trying to justify. It is a heart-to-heart conversation with one or multiple people in the management that if you want me to do the job the way you would like to see me do it, then allow me what I need.
Well, if the person has been stifled all the time, maybe he's in the wrong organization. Maybe the thought process that he has, maybe the abilities that he has and the direction that he feels he should have in life is not suitable for the organization that he's in. Maybe, there comes a point in time that you say, listen, it's been nice. I don't think I can operate in this environment, and maybe it's time to part ways. But I would do that after I have tried everything. And I say that going back to my point that I raised at the beginning of this the session, is who we define as our customers has a major impact on this. If we are, as a leader, if we think everyone in the organization is a customer to me, then you are going to have a hard time trying to bring fresh ideas and perspectives to them because you're always trying to please the customer. And that becomes extremely difficult. If you're thinking of the business leaders in your organization as your partners, then it's much easier to sit down and work as partners with them to represent your ideas, to tell them why you're doing it and why the business will benefit from the things that you're trying to accomplish, not to do just exactly what they're asking you to do. I think that's what makes a great leader in the IS environment, that you bring fresh ideas to the table and discuss it with your peers in the business area as your partners, not someone that you're going to try and please as your customer.
Now, you could not be truly a Hercules and pull this off yourself as an IT leader, even though you were able to go out and tell the business management and actually act as an outsider, because you need the support and the participation of your crew. So does the crew need to be an outsider? But if the question is yes, then how on earth do you make that happen? As an individual, you can ask for immunity and you want to be the maverick that you for you to do what you want to do. But what about having a bunch of mavericks working in IS to make things happen? That's going to be hell breaking loose. Emily.
Well, I think you have to manage it. It can't be like setting a bunch of mice free to scamper around, you know, and create bedlam, right? I mean, you want people to be innovative in their thinking. You want them to put new, fresh ideas on the table. You want them to approach problems in ways that are new and constructive, and you know, bring value that maybe we haven't seen before. But you don't want chaos. You don't want random changes in your production environment. For instance, you don't want to cut security measures, things like that. And so, I think it goes back to the balance between, the box, that you have to have certain elements of the box and the limits around the box, but then giving folks the ability, the tools, and the skills to, push on the edges of the box and push, is it really a box or is it a circle? And how do you influence that? And I think you do want to build an organization where you have people that aren't afraid to try new things, that aren't afraid to look at new technologies, new possibilities, new ways to string things together, new ways to approach problems. Because I think if you don't create an environment, then you very much are just stifling.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And Nasser, we will love to get your thoughts on this idea about bringing the crew along and trying to make them as an outsider as well. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. Go to Assist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's remote support made easy.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So Nasser, what do you think you can do to bring even your crew along with you and let them be the outsiders as well? And is that even realistic to expect that?
Well, I think it is. I think in the field of technology, we always have folks who are maverick. They want to try new ideas, and they're always pushing for that the next best technology and the next best tool that's available. But you don't want to have a bunch of mavericks run around your organization. It'll be like herding cats. What you want to do is basically define, once you have defined the box that you're operating in, that basically just defines the box that your team operates in. And then you give them the freedom, as much freedom as they want, make them understand what boundaries they have to work with, and make them go for it and bring new perspectives from even outside of the box to evaluate. But they should know the limitations just like you do as the IS leader. I think your team is a reflection on you and how they operate is your responsibility. So I don't see any reason why the team shouldn't think as an outsider as well.
So do you think there is an individual or a set of people out there who are mavericks but at the same time cautious as well?
They are. I mean, especially in the IS organization, we have folks who, for example, they never want to be in management. They're technologists, and you know they want to be technologists forever, and that's always been a major issue in IS that and any organization that we promote people to management level just to give them a raise or give them no more money, and no, they're not really suited for that position. Those technologists could be the perfect example of the kind of outside-the-box thinking that you want to do, providing that they get the right direction from us. So creating a career path which is purely around technology and creating a career path which is purely within management in IS is very important for those types of roles, to create mavericks and let them, you know, think outside of the box.
Emily, what have you seen when you've tried to get a maverick to do what you want them to do? Because then the unpredictability is there because of the very term maverick that we have used here, because they are not expected to listen to you exactly what you said and follow orders.
Yeah, I think the key is putting those folks in positions where they're going to be successful for themselves and successful for your organization. So if you have a maverick kind of person and you have them managing a highly structured process, then you've got that person in the wrong spot to begin with, and you're not using their skills, and they're going to be frustrated, and you're going to be frustrated as well. So, you know, to Nasser's point, you know, really about creating models that allow for career progression of individual contributors. We've enabled sort of R&D concepts in a laboratory environment, which again allows a little bit more sort of maverick sort of style and experimentation and free thinking, and you know, let's figure out what's possible, and if that doesn't work, it doesn't come together, you know, okay, we'll move on to the next idea. So we've tried to do a couple of things, put people in the positions that best are fitted for their skills, create career paths for individual contributors so it's not just a management only kind of career path or you tap out, and then support sort of the R&D concepts.
Now, is there a way, when we are looking at this approach of being an outsider versus the traditional approach that we've used to handle IT, if you were to really try to measure this, that when I worked like an outsider, when I had my workers work as an outsider, as a special initiative versus work as business as usual, did I get any special output out of it, any enhanced productivity, any innovation, etc., and then take that as to make a business case to give even a more freedom than what was provided earlier? Nasser, have you seen and or have you done any kind of measuring in that respect?
To be honest, I have not. I think that's a very good question. I have not done it in the past.
All right. So if you have not, and if you did, what would you have done in order to measure it the way to see some numbers that you can put in front of your management?
I think I would take a look at it as a proof of concept type approach. Take a look at what the business is capable of handling, both from the change perspective and obviously budget perspective, and come up with the ideas and present them.
Emily, what have you done, and or what do you think could be done in this regard to structure this as an exercise, as an experiment, but it is basically going to be fruitful if the positive results are seen?
Yeah, I think, you know, so far what we've done has mostly been anecdotal as opposed to hard and fast measures. But I think, you know, where you are investing in, you know, R&D and sort of lab kinds of things and letting people experiment and try things out of the box, you can put value on, you know, the things that come out that are positive, that are innovative, that add value, that make improvements. I think you can put a value on that. You can articulate a business case around those. And that really can become the sort of measure and the stepping stone to, you know, promote more and more.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Emily and Nasser. This running IT as an outsider is something which we have as a dream. And I think to some extent we are fulfilling it, but perhaps there are some limits that we have not stretched yet. And hopefully we'll do that going forward.
Well, great. Thank you.
Now, if listeners, you have any questions, please send us to questions@ciotalkradio.com. That is questions@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.